Good morning. It's 6:52 a.m. Sunday, August the 9th, 2015. Yeah, Sunday morning, 6:52, 1, somewhere. Anyway, yesterday got pretty badly butchered. I had a really bad night. My wife had a bad night, which meant I had a bad night. And I slept till almost 7. And before I could really get woken up, I had to make an emergency grocery run because we had nothing for breakfast in the house, or very little. We had some stuff, but we're also expecting company. And we weren't sure if they were going to come in for breakfast, which probably sounds odd to a lot of people, but if you knew my wife and some of her friends, you would understand that not knowing whether or not house guests from out of state were going to show up for breakfast would be pretty much de rigueur. So, yeah, I had to make a run down and pick up 4 or 5 kinds of pastry and bacon and eggs. And I should have got cornflakes or Cheerios or something. 2 in addition, but I didn't. Anyway, so I lost my walking time yesterday because rather than take an hour, 40 minutes that it would have taken me to do the walk yesterday, I used that time to write because I knew I was not going to get a lot of hours in over the course of the day because we were going to have house guests and they were going to stay all day and I would be tapped to help entertain them. So I got 2K in before they arrived, which is good, but it still left me 3K short. The good news is that one of the house guests turns out to be a journal editor, and he really, after being a week away, really wanted to spend a little bit of time on his own computer. So the girls went off to visit the museum. There's a museum of frontier life, what it was like to live here at the turn of the century and just before, when Greeley was just being settled, when life here consisted of potato fields and sod huts, pretty much. So they went to that. He and I settled in. We had a late lunch, so we got to be dinner time. I wasn't hungry. In fact, I just kept right on going and managed to get my 5K for yesterday in around 7 o'clock, after which we went out to dinner, which was amusing on a Saturday night, 7 o'clock. So we went to a breakfast restaurant, and we're not the only ones there, but it was very... very pleasant. We had a good time. So they're coming back again this morning, but good morning. But I got a decent night's sleep. Not a great one, but a decent night's sleep. And spent a little time drinking a bit of coffee. And here I am. You get to walk in. I got Seekers One is at 40K. It's perking right along nicely. As soon as I get my head into it, it just comes out. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure, and I won't be sure until I get to the end of the book to find out where I am. This isn't I'm nowhere near where I thought I would be when I was considering this book to begin with, but I think I'm where I need to be, because when I consider a book, of course I have no idea really what's going to happen. I consider a whole bunch of possibilities before I sit down to write, and when I sit down to write, I write what happens next, even if it was or wasn't one of the possibilities. So this is a much more kind of Pip and Ishmael decide to make a company and meet up with old friends. I'm not sure about this book, to be honest. I've got an alpha reader who's a few, I think, is reading the 25,000 word beginning. And I'm getting positive feedback from the alpha reader, from the perspective of, this is an Ishmael Wong story. Yes, it is. It has the right tone, has the right voice. It's good meeting Ishmael again. Those kinds of comments. So, yeah, there's There's where we are with that. And I'm pleased with it. We have a new logo for Phoenix Freight. I got the in-house artist working on that. And had a couple of versions. One I really liked. One was actually a logo. It was the first one I got, and I should have accepted it, but I asked for some changes. And the changes were spectacularly beautiful, but not a logo. And that was the problem. It wasn't a logo. I like them, but I like them both. But it wasn't a logo. The other one is a logo, and it's clearly a logo. I can see it on the side of a ship. In fact, I have a rough sketch of overall blueprint sketch of the Unwin barbell tractor. The 100 meter can. And because I was able to get that, I shrunk both of them, both of the images that I got from the artist, I shrunk them down and placed them on this sort of blueprint sketch. And yeah, one of them clearly works, one of them clearly does not, and the really fussy one doesn't work. So yeah, Ishmael and Pip now have a logo for their company. They still don't have... Pip's father needs to give his blessing to spending the money that Pip has for purchasing the Chernyakhova. He has to give his blessing to change the purposes of that fund to forming the corporation with Ishmael. And so far they haven't got that permission, so they're beginning to sweat a little bit. They've got a few more days because they've got to get from Port Newmar over to Diurnia so that they can register the corporation, and then over to Breakall in time for the auction. So yeah, the story's coming along. Story's chugging. Yesterday was fifth day. I think it was the fifth 5K day in a row. I'm looking for six today. It's not quite 7 o'clock yet, I don't think. And while we are going to have company there, they're not going to stay all day. And my intention is to actually get some breakfast this morning, which I did not do yesterday because I was at the grocery store and then came home, and I wasn't sure if we were going to have to make breakfast and eat with them or not, which is the result. I didn't eat breakfast and didn't eat anything yesterday until noon. Made up for it by being an absolute pig for the rest of the day. Yeah. Anyway. Let's see. What else? That's really about it. I don't have a lot to talk about today. I didn't get a lot read in terms of outside reading yesterday. I didn't see a lot. One of the discussions on one of the groups was about lousy covers. And one of the authors who's a member of the group actually has been trying to get her cover reworked. And frankly, the cover is just appalling. And I was tactful about it, but I said, I really need some work. And the revised version of it is work is better. It's still, let's just say there's a good reason it showed up on lousy covers. I tried to read the book. I got a sample of it and tried to read it. And no. No. The No. I couldn't do it. I didn't get very far. I got maybe a couple pages in. I started scanning. And then I realized that there in this chapter one, which I don't remember if it's chapter one now, if it was actually listed as prologue, it had footnotes. And I'm like, what? Footnotes? I had to put it away. I just couldn't. It wasn't something that I really wanted to enjoy. I suspect people who like their science fantasy really, really dense might enjoy it. I was not one of those people. I want to be engaged in the story, not in the words. And while I have nothing against a few bon mots, I don't really care for wall upon wall upon wall upon wall of text. So, it's just me. Monk post. So yeah, there we go. Onward. It was a bit... I was like, yeah, you know, I think this is the revised version. And it's better, but it's still... The problem is the artwork is really not appropriate. And the fancy font that the author used to lay down the cover title, no, it didn't work. And in large part, it didn't work, A, because it didn't work because of the artwork. And B, it didn't work because it was... The artwork itself had a lot of detail in it, and using a fancy font that has a lot of detail in it didn't work well. So anyway, and I felt bad for the author because, you know, I know everybody tries hard. This had to have been a bit of a blow. It would have been for me, and I'm pretty sanguine about the whole thing. I know I'm not going to please everybody. That it's going to be, you know, a large matter of taste. But yeah, this was grim. So anyway, I did get a message from Patrick McLean, who is going to be doing a Let's Succeed at Evil promo at DragonCon. And what he's going to do is he's going to interview people about villains. Now, McLean has this wonderful villain. If you've not heard How to Succeed at Evil or haven't read any of the How to Succeed at Evil books, the lawyer for supervillains gets tired of inept supervillains and having to bail them out all the time and deal with the law and deal with the legalities of bailing out supervillains. It's sort of like Better Call Saul, except he did it long before Breaking Bad. And he's also kind of smart. And so he turns to villainy to kind of be a role model. And How to Succeed at Evil. I love the story. I love the part of it that I listened to. I haven't actually... I should probably go get the book. It's a lot of fun. Anyway. He wanted to interview me. We're going to do the interview next week. I needed to give him a one-line villain. Or villain trope. Or... something. And I don't really have a good one. My favorite one, I don't really like Burnside. As a villain, Burnside is kind of meh. And Rossett isn't actually a villain. He's just inept. So, yeah, there's that. But I think so far my favorite villain. Good morning. Good morning. Was the guy in Hermit who was hired by the insurance companies to steal the cargoes, sink the ships for those people that didn't pay their insurance. In the first place, setting insurance companies, the whole insurance industry in this world, up as extortionists, which tickled me no end, given that I used to work for an insurance company, and I know how they work, and they're most, for the most part, I'm convinced that insurance companies actually are not evil. The interesting question is, what's the difference between an insurance company and an extortionist? The joke is that the extortionist comes to collect the premium, the insurance company just sends a bill. The reality is that there's a much more fundamental difference, and that's that the insurance company isn't the one who's actually burning down your house. So, they're perfectly willing to let the law of averages burn down your house and to keep taking the money from those people from whom their houses never burned down. Now, there's also an oversight industry that keeps insurance companies under scrutiny so that they don't gouge, so they're not charging four times more than they should, that their margins on premiums versus payouts stays on a certain level. It doesn't prevent insurance companies from taking catastrophic losses, which the one that I worked for did, because they had some really questionable policies at work in, was it South Carolina? They got hit by Hurricane Hugo way back in the day. And it cost them a lot. So anyway, yeah, the insurance companies in Corlay, especially, not necessarily all of them, but the insurance syndicate that runs out of Cleesport is in large part highly corrupt, which, by the way, has not yet been resolved. We are pretty sure that we know they are corrupt, but the only thing that Tanith has done so far is, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, is discover the guy who's taking the cargo, sinking the ships, but instead of killing the crew like he's supposed to cut off the number of people from whom the secret might be extracted, he's been using them in his own private gold mine as slave labor. So, yeah, I thought, here is a villain who is screwing over his fellow villains by not actually following orders, but showing a little initiative on his own in order to be even more villainous than he might have been in the beginning. So yeah, there's that. I really got a chuckle out of it. Yeah, one of my challenges in writing villains is that I don't, a villain doesn't see himself as evil. Unless it's like, they get a little cartoonish or they get a little cardboardy. Burnside didn't see himself as evil. He saw himself as just taking advantage of his position. And it was rightfully his to take advantage of. He was basically a misogynist creep, and he collected misogynist creeps in his entourage. And because Rosset was a non-entity, because Rosset was really just tied up in his own little world, he stayed in the cabin. He only came out when he absolutely had to, and other than that, he stayed in his own little world for the 10 weeks they were underway. He left the ship so he didn't have to deal with these dirty sailors spacers. And then came back when he had to so that he could get his next 10 weeks of writing in. So from that perspective, I suppose he's a author as villain, because he's completely inept, he's completely abrogated his responsibilities, he's completely derelict in his duties. And they had no legal recourse to remove him as long as he fulfilled the letter of his contract, which he did. Which is why the contracts are now different. This is unfortunate. Ugh. I'm at the back gate, and the problem is that there is a sprinkler head right in the gate, and the sprinklers are running, and I have to go through that sprinkler in order to get back into the house where my coffee and breakfast are waiting. Oh, is it changed? Is this about to go? No, but it's spinning in the other direction. Okay, well, I'm going to end this for the day and see about getting myself through the sprinkler heads here without getting too wet. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.